This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us this morning, we have Gloria Christie from Shacklett's Photography. Gloria, how are you this morning?
I'm just super excited.
Well, good. That's perfect.
Just telling you, off the charts here. I know everybody else is maybe just like, what the heck's going on with our world? But you know what? I know something that gets people excited.
What's that?
Music.
It does.
You know, it's always been that, right, Scott?
It definitely always has been that way.
It's always that. In fact, I was thinking this morning as I was going to share this with you and talking about just Uncle Dave's story. Back in the 1920s, when things were kind of going off the edge with the Depression and all, it was when Uncle Dave started his career. And he was in his 50s when he became a superstar on the Grand Ole Opry. And one of the things he said as he was launching his career, he just wanted to make people happy. And that moment when folks were struggling and trying to figure out what their world was all about, he was out there playing his banjo, going from town to town, making people happy and bringing joy.
And
bringing
now,
joy.
Friends, we present Uncle Dave making the Dixie Dewdrop with his plug hat, gold teeth, chin whiskers, Gates ajar collar, and that million-dollar Tennessee smile. And his son, Doris. Let her go, Uncle Dave.
Me and my brother started out the other day, studying a plan how to get away. Night come on 9:15 in the dark, waiting for the Chesterfield train to start. Conductor was standing right now, the rope in the all into his passengers all aboard.
I think we need a little of that, Scott. What do you think?
I agree with you there.
Okay. All right. And you know, we've done it. We have a history. This is my 40th year to do Uncle Dave Making Day. Scott, you were just a baby, right?
How's that possible when you're 30?
I don't know. And I think I'm going backwards, right?
That's right. What was that movie? Benjamin Buttons?
Or? No, okay, right. No, I don't want to do that part. I don't want to go baby.
Again, Gloria Christie with us this morning. Let's talk a little bit about that music that Uncle Dave was known for. First of all, what type of music did he play?
He was known for roots music, which thus Roots Rendezvous, and the kind of music that evolved in the late 19th century, early 20th century. And a lot of people don't realize that Uncle Dave's sister was a classically trained musician. He mimicked a lot of her classic piano pieces and began to translate that into banjo style.
My dog treat I went to see.
I'm doing hard.
I was a possum up that tree.
I'm doing hard.
And that possum began to grin.
I'm doing hard.
I reached up and took him in.
I'm doing hard.
Oh, come, possum, come, that possum children. Come, that possum children. Oh, come, do it hard.
So you hear the frailing, the clawhammer style of banjo, which every guitar player in the United States of America right now who is doing rock and roll country, it is that picking frailing style that Uncle Dave perfected. Was he the only one? No. There were others, but that kind of style made its way into American popular music. It's the kind that does make you happy. You know how music changes your mood, changes your perspective. It's so healing. And he, in his own life, it was part of his story. He actually, after the Civil War, and let's just take a snapshot of that period after the Civil War.
All right.
It was Reconstruction. And the South was just decimated. In fact, they called Murfreesboro the scorched land between Bristol and Memphis. That was the image of what we were like. Can you imagine?
And that was because, I guess, of all the fighting that took place.
Absolutely.
All the deaths. I mean, it was a tragic area for a long time.
Scott, we have photographs of it that were taken. Bill and Tom have restored some of those. That image of what it looked like at the battlefield in the 1880s. It was still decimated. You could see where the battles had taken place. If we don't save that story, because right now everything's growing up all over it, being built on top of where that really happened.
Yeah.
But about that, Uncle Dave came in because his story was after the war, his father, due to some situations related to a debt he owed during Reconstruction, the family had already moved from Smart, Tennessee to Nashville, and they owned a hotel. Well, there was a fellow who tried to recover the debt, and in doing so, he killed his father, and he watched it happen.
Wait a second. So a debt collector killed Uncle Dave's father?
Yes, and he witnessed it. It took him a while to recover and mentally decide to repurpose his life. His mother moved to Reedyville, there at the corners there. His mother took the family there, opened an inn. Uncle Dave soon followed and started playing on the porches, in the mill, Reedyville Mill, in the churches. He was really trying to elevate his own mood with his own music. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. No, he was trying to heal his heart, heal his pain by playing music.
Yeah. I look at that story and I'm thinking, wait a minute, we are all that way. We all need, and I've thought of my own self, you know, what really attracted me to this event over 40 years ago was Jesse Messick. And my dad trying to get me something to do, you know. Like parents do. Repurpose my life. And that happened for me. And every year, and you've seen it happen year after year after year, 46 years of this have made a little bit of joy in Rutherford County. And now we've spread that all over the world with World's Largest Square Dance, Walking in Sunlight with the story, that play that we made with the MTSU Theater and Drama about the story of Uncle Dave. From time to time, he was self-medicating with alcohol, right? And the family was trying to do an intervention, and they picked him up. His brother took him to Central State.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, well, Central State was a mental institution.
Oh, wow.
And his brother was going to have him admitted because they thought he was just totally out of control. And he was so charismatic, he convinced the orderlies and the intake people, no, it's not me, it's him. It's my brother. So they took his brother instead of Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave went back to Kittrell.
So this mental hospital really took in Uncle Dave's brother.
Tried to. His brother went.
Wow.
He convinced the intake people that it was really his brother. So he left his brother there at Central
State.
He goes home.
Was Dave making a jokester?
All the time. Yes,
that's good.
And that's what I'm saying. Our mood and our emotions are so tied to our feelings, and feelings are so tied to music. I am so excited because I'm announcing today, every year, Uncle Dave Macon Days. It has a theme, and last year it was the veterans and the conditions related to veterans that we did with Macon Music and Mules in Shelbyville. And we did a tremendous job with that in raising money and so forth, and awareness of the needs of veterans. This year, the giving back theme is mental health matters.
That's perfect.
Isn't it perfect?
Yeah.
It's perfect, you know?
Especially after that story.
It just seems so relevant now. And a lot of folks, one of the things that we're going to be working with is Mind Club of America. Now, there's a story there, too, because Kevin Lee was one of our sponsors back at Cannonsburg when he started Trust Point Hospital and Journey Pure, those two mental health assets in our community. Well, we got together and we're in a really fun way and showcase his new project at the festival. And it's going to be, of course, Mind Club America. And we're going to highlight the theme, mental health matters. And you know, one thing that we've said, if you don't have mental health, you don't have health.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, that is so true, because even on those days that you feel down, maybe you don't have a full-blown mental health condition, but days you just simply feel down, they feel like no other. I mean, you feel like you're at the bottom of the bottom. You have no energy those days.
There you go. You don't have energy, and when you don't have energy, you lose your creativity, you lose your ability to think. So often, and I've experienced this, pure exhaustion from doing the festival after all these years. You know, I think I just can't do it one more time. But then when I hear the music, you know, Ben, my son Ben.
I've met him before.
Yeah, you know.
Went to school with him, grew up with him.
I know you did. Bless your heart. But he has a group that he manages called the Cleverleys. And that group, every time they go on stage, they're just elevating the mood. And they mimic some of the performing styles of Uncle Dave Macon. And I've watched it time after time after time. And other groups like that, they get on stage, they change the mood immediately. But I've also seen the opposite. And you know that too. If they don't convey a message of hope and unity, and the air goes out of the balloon, really.
You know, this is so true. And when you look at music over the years, yeah. You can literally see changes in people. You can see, mm-hmm. if you go back and look at crowds and audiences, you know,
yes.
at concerts, you can see really how that artist impacted that crowd.
That's right.
Take Woodstock, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Artist conveyed a message, you know, we're going to break out of this. We're going to be our own. We're going to.
Right.
And you had all of a sudden, you know, fires breaking out in the crowds and things like that. But then at the same time, yeah. you had people hugging, kissing, and just, it's amazing.
It's being human, right?
It is. And that mood can change from 1 minute to the next so fast with music. And
that demonstration and that up and down moment even happens at Uncle Dave. You know, you've
yeah.
got, for example, you know, you might have a person that has a child lost and everybody's freaking out and panicky. The mood completely changes when we're all looking for a child.
Yeah.
But the next thing, you get somebody on stage like the Cleverleys or the Isaacs or some of these people, these bluegrass players, and they totally elevate the mood. And then we go back to, we are a little schizophrenic, aren't we?
Yeah, when it comes to music, and when you're the audience, yes, it's wild.
Let me tell you what we're going to do. This is why Kevin and I'm so committed to trying to help him do this. He wants to help young folks. We're entering the era where the COVID kids are now going to college, that were out of school.
Teenagers who were in high school, at the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now,
and I have a granddaughter like that. She was isolated. Tom tells me this. If you're alone, you're in bad company.
Because you only feel worse about yourself.
Absolutely.
Or more down.
And those voices in your head tell you you're awful. You know, you're alone. Nobody cares about you. And I'm sure Uncle Dave felt that when his dad was killed and he was trying to regroup and figure out what he was going to do with his life. But that was a pivotal moment that changed him. I want folks to know that story because we're going to be telling that story more and more. And also give people some actual tools. That Mind Club of America program gives young people tools. Toolkit for life. That's what Kevin's saying, that we're going to be able to help you. Does that mean we have all the answers? No, it's collectively. And once we get on the grounds and we get to having fun together, dancing together, playing together, having a good time, and then we take away, when you go home Saturday night, after by the way, we're going to have this big country dance, September 6 and 7.
Okay.
You go to our website. There's a whole schedule of artists that are on there that you'll see the schedule, and it starts at 4 o'clock, goes on into the evening with Dewdrop Jamboree, all kinds of artists throughout the weekend. The other thing that's going to be fun is we are partnering with Borough International and Art Crawl folks and some of the talent from MTSU. That's the other thing that I want to say about this one. This particular one is the inclusion of other talent, other organizers, other creatives that have come in to help us with this, with continuity. And particularly after COVID, when we were fledgling our own self, we were kind of been nomads for the last, since 2019, nowhere to go, don't have a program, don't know where to go, don't know what to do. But you know what? We've always thought that we'd come alive again, and we're going to share this wonderful story and this wonderful music with everyone once again.
Roots Rendezvous, the Music Fest, September 6th and 7th. It will be at Hop Springs
in
Murfreesboro. Time flies by.
Yeah,
so September will be here before we know it. Gloria Christie on the air with us this morning. Roots Rendezvous, and then Uncle Dave Macon. So Dave Macon, he was a fascinating character.
He was.
You know, you got folks in today's age who say, I'm not going to go along with this technology. I'm not going to be a part of all this.
Well, you know, he was about that.
He was one of those.
He did not like cars. I mean, he didn't embrace the technology of the day, except the radio and the record. There were some things he knew he could monetize, and he did use that. And he really was the first superstar of the Grand Ole Opry. He really was. You got Jimmy Fiddlin' Sid Hartrigger. He started, that was the first show or really performance on the Grand Ole Opry, which leads me to think about this for a moment. When we talk about performance and the compare and contrast the experience with sports.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Kevin and I were talking about this the other day. There is some overlapping with when you lose something in sports, when you lose a game in a performance venue, say you're, example, you're a big country star and all of a sudden you're not a big country star.
Or and that's how quick it happens.
Or because we are so oriented to being entertained, I think it slipped over into other parts of our culture that we have to be entertained. We get our value through entertainment. And we also kind of glean our value from others who we think are entertaining us. Now, think about that for a minute. So we get in a mode of performance acceptance. And Uncle Dave, he did get there. He sometimes was very depressed about things that would happen. And he was in a very volatile moment in American history. It was right before the Depression, during the Depression, and World War II. And he experienced all those. If you look at that timeline, you can almost identify his mood and how his answer was music. His answer was like, okay, I can't fix this. I'm going to get out there with my banjo. I'm going down to Reedville Mill. I'm going to sit on the porch, and I'm going to play my banjo. Now, let me tell you about that. We learned this story last year. He would get on that mule wagon with his team of 20 mules and his wagon, and he would be playing and playing. And people were depressed then. Scott, it was a long way from Kittrell to Murfreesboro in those days on a dirt road, right?
Especially a mule-drawn carriage.
Absolutely. And he's trying to transport his goods back and forth from, you know, from Woodbury. He'd get on that wagon and play his banjo. People literally would come out of the fields and come to the fences and to the dirt roads right there and listen to him and start singing. And there's a scene, I love this scene, and that play that we made about the story of Uncle Dave. Children would gather around him and he would teach them how to play. That's where we get making music education, because he would teach them his method. And they would pick up, and that's how this works. He would teach them how to sing, teach them the songs, and then when they come back, he'd go, hey, did you learn that such and such?
Yeah.
And sometimes all they had was a spoon. He'd teach them how to do spoons.
That brother Ned, he threw us in the street and he tumbled into bed. But we're giving him up for gone, but he's lying in the lane. Promise everybody knows the old man's drunk again.
These kids would just laugh and play with him. There's so many songs that evolved out of that era. That's why we've got to teach the young ones. And the young ones are coming. The young ones, I'm so excited about. Dewdrop Jamboree is bringing some people from Carpe Artista. You know that bunch over there. They're just amazing what they're doing with kids and singing old country songs that these little tykes are 10, 11, 12-year-olds singing. Patsy Cline, come on. It's awesome.
You know, in today's times, and it's interesting to talk about today's times and tie it to Uncle Dave, but in today's times, when you look at those performers who are extremely passionate what they do, you'll also see those are the ones who get in trouble. Their names are in the tabloids a whole lot more. But they're also the ones who have those emotional breakdowns. They have those emotional highs and lows.
But what if they had the toolkit?
Yeah.
What if they had the toolkit? Kevin and I were talking about this. He's got the toolkit. He's got some things that are really provable, and there is data to prove what he's doing. I don't have data. I just have results. I see the world's largest square dance where everybody goes crazy. You were there. You know what they do. There's nothing like a community building event like music.
Music changes everything.
Everything.
And I can see where, like Uncle Dave, he was one of those very passionate people.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional highs, emotional lows.
He's typical.
That is a real performer. Real performers have those, because they are the ones who have the ability to write these dramatic songs that make a difference in somebody's life. I mean, they are the ones who are the best performers, but they're also the ones who go through things like depression and these battles with anxiety, whatever it may be.
Well, and you know that it's not just performers and athletes, it's us. That's the key to it. And keep going back to Kevin Lee, because he's been such a friend through this, all the way through the festival at Cannonsburg and all. By the way, he's the individual that helped find Trust Point Hospital and Journey Pure. That's the Kevin Lee. And we've had this relationship with each other for a long time. And now we feel like, you know, we're at a moment where folks don't need to feel isolated, alone, or feel like there's no hope in what you're dealing with. I know you, Scott, we've all had things in our heads that if we acted on them, they would be detrimental to our family and friends? And what if there was a toolkit that helped you out of that doldrum of that place, and it does include music or creative things that you can do? My dad was one of those. Let me just go back to my dad. In the era of my dad, when he came back from in the middle of World War II, a lot of folks don't know this about his story. He was one of the photographers on the team with the atomic bomb in New Mexico. So here you got this kid from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, watching this, photographing it, not knowing what it is and what could he do. And he wrote a poem of "Those That Will Be Free." I never knew what that was all about till you start the Oppenheimer story. Daddy was one of those photographers. And what does he do? You know, he comes back, he writes poems, he makes beautiful photography, he raises children. All of these things I didn't appreciate until now. You know, it takes a while to understand people's journey. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think what I was getting at, when you have these passions, when you have these drives, these underlying drives for creativity, it's coming from the folks who do have these emotional ups and downs. So, you know,
oh, Scott, you are a beautiful artist. Yeah, you are.
I'm not depressed right now. So
that's a way to express yourself.
And it is.
Photographer, you don't you see that happening out in with what you do with?
For sure. And those who are out there listening who are battling depression or anxiety or something like that, what they may not have realized yet is that they probably hold some extremely great and beautiful talent.
That's exactly right.
That they just haven't had a chance to sculpt yet. But
right.
They could be on that path soon.
Right. And I'm not a clinician. I'm not a, and there does need, sometimes we do need special help with this situation. And that is, like Kevin and I were saying, one of the things that's going to, we're going to bring it at in the context of the festival, we want to dispel the stigma of mental health. One thing that's going to be, that we have, is we don't want anybody to find out. If I raise my hand and say, I've got this problem, then, oh, all the focus is on me and there must be something wrong with me. No, there's something courageous about you. And like you said, you're going to unlock your potential. Did you see it?
Definitely, 100%. And we only have about 2 minutes or so, actually a little under 2 minutes left.
Okay.
So for folks to find out more about all of this, you know, from getting help with some type of mental fatigue, mental whatever's going on in your life, to get help with that and to be a part of Roots Rendezvous, what do people need to do?
Right now, just call us, go to rootsrendezvous.com. All the contact information is on there. And by the way, if you are in a crisis situation, either with a family member, we're going to have that available at the festival. Just don't feel alone. Don't feel alone. There's a lot of reasons for people to wake up every morning and feel frightened, and we want to dispel that. Keep in mind, that's exactly what Uncle Dave felt, and he found a way, and we will help you find a way for healing and wholeness. Roots Rendezvous, Uncle Dave Making Dates. We're going to raise awareness and teach folks that mental health matters.
But it pulled to flop down wings and crow. When the dark it passes by, seem to say that they can't be caught and ain't no use for to try. And worse than all that happened yet, did you ever hear the like before? Wherever you go to travel, you'll find out a lock on the chicken cook's door.
Yeah, take that chicken pie, or put on lots of spice. Oh Lord, how I'd like now just a piece of that biggest slice.